Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hello, my name is Emerson Gunther.
Milana Deneva.
And my name is Samantha Bowditch.
And our project was about the need for an EMS service in Pensacola, Florida. We are from Creative Learning Academy and the 7th grade.
So, at the agenda conference on Monday for the Pensacola City Council meeting, that the regular meeting is going to be tomorrow night, they had student presentations, including from Creative Learning Academy, 7th graders, Emerson Gunther, Milana Deneva, and Samantha Bowditch, as you heard them introduce themselves. And they wanted to know, why doesn't Pensacola have its own EMS service? It seems kind of weird because we've got Pensacola Police Department and the Pensacola Fire Department and then County Emergency Medical Service. So they presented their plan. There were several groups of teenagers who presented their ideas to the city council. It was a very interesting segment, so to speak. But I thought this one in particular was interesting.
Pensacola has a lack of its own EMS service. Pensacola Fire Department is usually the first at an emergency site and then has to wait on Escambia County for transportation in their EMS vehicle. The problem with that is if someone is dire in need of transportation to a hospital, the fire department cannot take them. So the patient and the firefighters just sit around and wait for EMTs to arrive. As the city grows, vertically in stories, and with an increase of population, the dilemma will become more and more complicated over time.
Yeah. Now, I don't know the data. I don't know the numbers. But you probably are well aware that as long as I've lived here 10 years, and certainly for the last 7, 6, 7, 8 years, EMS in the county has been an organization heavily beleaguered by a wide variety of challenges. The bottom line takeaway, though, is that you have wait times and you have held calls and you have inadequate staffing, although the county has been doing more recently to increase wages and to increase number of trucks and to, I mean, you know, but then again, at the same time, the complaints against David Torcell, the EMS chief, which were initially kind of dismissed, well, he's no longer employed there, right? So maybe there was more to it than initially was let on. And, you know, as far as wait times go, for years I was talking about that with Wes Moreno, the county administrator, and, you know, this was the issue, this was the issue, this was the issue. It seemed like all of those issues kind of got solved, and we still didn't really solve the basic problem. In fact, EMS hasn't been reporting wait times. I get the weekly report from the director from the Department of Public Safety, and they stopped reporting wait times in January. And still have to this day, 5 months later, not resumed that practice. Now, that may happen again. Actually, you know, Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety, really capable person, you know, might be willing to resume that. The issue was whether it's an accurate stat or not. They report on the hospital diversions. They don't report on EMS. And I say all of that to say this, that in the city where you pay extra to get presumably better services, right? The theory is that, you know, Pensacola Fire is going to respond to you more quickly than Escambia Fire, and you pay to get that service. Pensacola Police is going to respond to you more quickly than Escambia County Sheriff, and you pay to get that service. That's the premise of living in the city. You know, whether the numbers bear that out with any given agency, it's an open question. But in EMS, you get the same service as the county. And I think a lot of people, as these kids pointed out, find that a little bit surprising because you would have thought that, and I mean, it's just true. And again, you know, Pensacola Fire can take care of you, and many of them have various levels of training. But for example, transportation, you got to wait for an ambulance.
Researching all of these different situations or solutions, the only one that truly stood out and shocked us was that Pensacola does not have its own EMS station. We also went around asking some of our teachers at our school if they knew, and the majority didn't. After that eye-opening realization, we decided to change the topic to the need for an EMS station designated for our city.
And that's not surprising either, because most people don't understand how this stuff works. Even if you have service provided, you don't understand how it works or who's responsible. I mean, the average citizen, this is part of why we do this show in particular, is to try to make it so you understand your local government and who does what and how it works and whether it works for you or not. And so, Emerson Gunther.
in order for anyone to get their own EMS station legalized, they would have to get a certificate of need. The certificate of need, or CON, is a legal document that is required in order to construct a new healthcare facility. In order to obtain a CON, developers of healthcare facilities have to apply to the local government authorities by making the case for why the community in question would benefit from the new development.
And then you would have questions about response time, level of service, and I don't even know what the difference is or what the data, whether it exists or how the difference is for the city and the county. I thought it was a great question that I had never thought about either.
Escambia County possesses the certificate of need, but Pensacola alone does not. Because we do not have a station in our city, we rely on the Pensacola Fire Department and Escambia County's emergency service to provide help.
Which, again, are two very different kinds of services. In the county, you have Escambia Fire and EMS, and in the city, you have Pensacola Fire and EMS. And, you know, one of the differences is that, you know, Pensacola Fire is really fast to the scene. EMS, with, again, a long history of challenges of all different sorts, including response times.
The fire department's response time is extremely quick, but can take the EMTs from Escambia County quite a long time to arrive, sometimes being faster to drive yourself. The big problem with that is since all the emergency help providers are spread out, it takes them a long time to get to their destination. I know people and have heard other people's stories of tragic events that have happened to themselves and of their loved ones.
And that's the right place to start asking the question, you know, is what could be done, you know, whether a permanent station for, I guess, a truck is what they're looking for, or maybe to co-locate it in PFD somewhere. But we'll get back to their solutions in just a second. But again, I thought this was a very interesting question to raise. I don't know enough of the data to be able to address what's the right solution to it. Of course, one question you might well ask yourself is, should the Pensacola City have their own dedicated EMS? Like you have your own dedicated police and fire. We'll come back to this in a second. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you're traveling down North Palafox Street heading southbound, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic building up in between Fairfield and Jordan Street. And some traffic building up on Cervantes Street going east and westbound at the intersection of Northeast Street, continuing on to the intersection with I-110. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by ECUA. ECUA Bulkway Service is now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. We always talk about Pensacola Hardware being one of the oldest businesses in the entire country, the oldest business in the state of Florida, 1851. That's before Levi's. That's before the Civil War. That's a long time to be in business. And right now, they have an end-of-season blowout sale going on heaters and fireplace accessories, fireplace screens, ceramic heaters, outdoor fireplaces, electric tower heaters, propane convection heaters, hotshot SS outdoor fireplaces, LP gas heaters, infrared heaters, and fireplace tools. And so if you need something to, you know, maybe make a great Christmas gift in December, but you want to buy it now because you're not going to really need it until December, go down to Pensacola Hardware and see what they might have now at discount prices because it is the end of season blowout on those accessories. 618 here on News Radio Pensacola. Back to this question of the kids from Creative Learning Academy, seventh graders, presenting a proposal slash assessment of whether the city of Pensacola should look into changing its relationship with county EMS in some regard because of the idea that, you know, Pensacola Fire on scene, yes, good, but EMS is a little bit slow. And should, you know, what? How do you solve that problem? Is it a problem that needs to be solved?
So our solution to solve this big problem is to get Escambia County to rent or loan out an EMT truck to the Pensacola Fire Department, which can be maintained and staffed by the firefighters, because 50% of them are already qualified EMTs.
Yeah, many of your firefighters already have certifications at various levels, basic life support, advanced life support, you know, paramedic training. You know, not all, but they are capable of doing some things. The question is, do they have the equipment necessary to best utilize whatever training they have, or could we also enhance their training level too?
Another possible solution is to get the Pensacola Fire Department upgraded from basic life support to advanced life support. It would allow firefighters to be able to do everything a regular EMT would do, except for transportation. That can be carried out by upgrading an existing engine company to the paramedic level, And expenses could be paid for by the public safety funds inside its $43.5 million budget.
I'm telling you, these kids did their research, and they got good information, and they, or at least generally good information. And, you know, for seventh graders, it's seventh graders, right? This is pretty impressive.
With the population of Pensacola continuing to grow and expanding to the north of Escambia County, we could be left underserviced. Stationing EMT trucks in Pensacola fire departments for extended periods of time or granting them ALS will not only provide better safety for our citizens, but higher salaries as well.
So I think it's a very interesting question. I will definitely ask Mayor Reeves about this morning. I know he was in the meeting, and so, you know, what did he think? And again, I had never raised this question in my own mind. As soon as they brought it up, I thought, gosh, that's kind of an obvious question to ask. Since, again, the city is particularly on its own when it comes to, I mean, you know, there's agreements between fire of the county and fire of the city to work together, and there's agreements between the sheriff and the police department, and I'm sure they would have, you know, a mutual aid agreement between county EMS and city EMS. But it's kind of an obvious question to ask whether the city of Pensacola would benefit from this. And of course, the backdrop is that if EMS were functioning as, you know, a wonderful, fantastic system for everybody in the county, people probably wouldn't even care, wouldn't even ask the question. But once you start looking at the question, then, you know, you start to see. And this is not a slight to the you know, people who are in the trucks, okay? We have fantastic employees. We really do have fantastic employees across the board. And, you know, county fire, Escambia, city fire, police and sheriff, and, you know, EMS in the county. But just it's a fact that over the years there have been an enormous number of problems with EMS of all different sorts, and those problems to this day, many of them still persist. Are they getting better? Is the county working on it? I think the evidence is in the right direction, but again, we just got rid of, or resigned, however you prefer to see it, the chief of EMS over the union voting no confidence in him and then follow up to that conversation. So, you know, what's the real answer here? How healthy is the organization in terms of, you know, leadership decisions, funding, all of that kind of stuff? One last quick note, just because I know he'll get a kick out of this. Emerson Gunther, again, the seventh grader from CLA, did want to give thanks for all the people who taught them the stuff that they were expressing.
I would just like to give a big thank you to Deputy Chief Jester. He showed me around the fire department and a little bit in the Pensacola, like, police, like, department, I guess. That's what it is. I learned a lot from him, and he was a huge help in our project. So thank you so much.
Can I tell you, small note, I love that this young man had enough presence of mind that he wasn't sure what to call the Pensacola Police Department, and therefore said it with a little bit of uncertainty and tentativeness instead of the opposite we often see, which is people are louder in their ignorance. And I love it when somebody is a little bit cautious. Is that right? I'm not sure. Anyway, and of course, Assistant Chief Jester is fantastic. Brock's a really good guy. 622, and it makes perfect sense to me that he would have been the one answering a lot of these questions for these folks. 622 on News Radio Pensacola. So good job for the kids. Great conversation that we need to have with the mayor and I'm sure the city council, who also expressed interest in this question. I'm sure they'll be taking this up at some time in the near future as well. 622, I'm Andrew McKay.
Pensacola Christian Academy is the area's premier kindergarten learning program. Why? Because in a fun, safe environment, even four-year-olds learn to read, beginning with letters and sounds, progressing to reading words, sentences, and stories. And the best part? If your child attends K-4 and K-5 at Pensacola Christian Academy, you'll get first grade tuition-free. Spots are filling quickly, so go to enrollpca.com to register now.
We see it every day. A guy comes into the men's clinic and guess what? The pills quit working, or they're sick of the side effects. And you know what else we see? Guys not confident in their relationship. At Wave Men's Health, we're the leaders in bedroom confidence. Understanding if you even need ED or low T treatment should be the first step, and the next should be choosing the treatment or treatment combination to build your confidence. Our urologist and physician group is offering professional, modern treatments with success rates as high as 92% and decades of experience. Our doctor's not going to send you an email with what might work for most people. We are results-driven. Concierge. You don't pay for medication. It's included, but you invest in the time it takes to get you where you want to be. We've built an experience with discretion that takes the worry out of going to the doctor. In fact, we've normalized it for guys all over Pensacola. Come see our friendly team in Pensacola and find out why we've been number one in men's health for years. Get a consultation and low T blood work with results on your first visit for $99. Get your confidence back in the bedroom and beyond. Go to wavemenshealth.com and book your appointment today. Wavemenshealth.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Visit Prim and Proper, the premier destination for unique gifts in Gulf Breeze, specializing in adding that extra touch of thoughtfulness to any occasion with expert engraving services. From elegant monograms to heartfelt messages, they bring visions to life. With a wide selection of gifts for birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, and more, there's something perfect for everyone. Prim and Proper also excels in corporate, employee, and client gifts that leave lasting impressions. Visit them online at primandproper.com.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
God, have you ever seen a spleen that large?
No, not since breakfast.
Just give me a Bloody Mary and a steak sandwich and a steak sandwich. Put it on the Underhills? Yes, I put it on the Underhills. Yeah. 625 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy has got traffic on the fives. Jimmy, are you a Fletch fan?
Yes, I am.
Well done.
Chevy Chase fan all around.
Oh, yeah.
Is early stuff.
Let's say that's true.
If you are heading eastbound on 98, there is a disabled vehicle right past Avalon Boulevard. That has blocked one of the lanes going eastbound. So expect some delays through there. We can already see traffic building up right after Avalon Boulevard there. Everything else looking pretty good. Payson Milton, you are good into Pensacola. No traffic on Woodbine or Chemukla. And if you're coming in from Cantonment, Highway 29 is clear all the way southbound into town. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your premium and commercial landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Can I borrow your towel? My car hit a water buffalo. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Voters were at the polls yesterday in Georgia, where a lot of people were watching Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis's Democratic primary race. She emerged victorious in that. The judge overseeing the Trump case, Scott McAfee, also won his race. All nine South Dakota Native American tribes have now apparently voted in favor of banning Governor Kristi Noem from their lands. This comes after she made remarks about the tribes they say were offensive, including that some tribal leaders were benefiting from Mexican drug cartels. And New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers says he decided to play football instead of running for vice president. He was talking to reporters on Tuesday. He said he had two options. He could continue his career in the NFL, or he could be the running mate for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He chose football.
Well, he's running the political football option offense then, right? He could have, you know, go run, go pass, right? And he decided to stick with football instead of blessing us with his leadership skills in office with Robert Kennedy Jr.
Would have been an interesting ticket, though.
That's what we need, is more interesting tickets. Yes, we need more sports and reality TV and actors putting themselves into politics. Well, I mean, you know, Reagan turned out okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, who can really argue too much? 628 on News Radio Pensacola. David, thanks so much for the update. All right, I hate to be the one to, like, give cover to the Biden administration for something that at first does seem a little bit weird, but I think this is a not fair reporting. Headline, Fox News, Biden administration authorized use of deadly force in Mar-a-Lago raid. What? You say what? Operations order produced in discovery as part of Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigation of the Trump alleged improper retention of classified records. Is it still alleged? Anyway, revealed that the FBI believed its objective for the Mar-a-Lago raid was to seize classified information, NDI, and U.S. government records. And the order, according to the court filing, contained a policy statement regarding the use of deadly force, which states, for example, quote, law enforcement officers of the Department of Justice may use deadly force when necessary, end quote. The FBI told Fox News in the statement. Does this outrage you? God, they went to the former president's house looking for documents, ready to kill somebody. People. No. What I figured as I was reading this is probably the standard procedures associated with any law enforcement operation, carried an if-this-what-then kind of situational description. What level of authorization? Is there any change to the standard protocols that we would operate as law enforcement officers with? And that turns out to be the case. FBI tells Fox News, quote, "The FBI followed standard protocol in this search, as we do for all search warrants, which includes a standard policy statement limiting the use of deadly force. No one ordered additional steps to be taken, and there was no departure from the norm in this matter." In other words, if they show up and somebody's draw down on them, they can act in self-defense, or right? And they just didn't modify that in any way. So this is not a story. But, you know, with a captivating headline, you sure can make people get worked up about something, because anger sells real good. Sells real good. Speaking of anger, the Biden administration is releasing 1 million barrels of gasoline from the Northeast Reserve in election year. In a bid to blunt the increase in gas prices that might happen over Memorial Day. Now, granted, 1 million barrels is really not all that much, but really? In an election year? How surprising.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Deadly tornadoes tearing through the nation's heartland overnight, killing at least 3 people and flattening dozens of homes and buildings. Iowa State Patrol Sergeant Alex Dinkla.
Sadly, we can't confirm that there have been fatalities with this tornado. Also, injuries have been sustained by residents here in the Greenfield area.
In Georgia, 2 key figures in former President Trump's election interference case fend off challengers in their own elections. Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis taking the Democratic nomination by a wide margin.
This is a fight for safety. It's a fight for justice. But most, it's a fight for the rule of law. And we are just at the beginning of this fight.
Judge Scott McAfee also winning his nonpartisan election for Fulton County Superior Court. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. It is an absolutely beautiful Wednesday morning right now, 70 degrees, and the sun is shining. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says stormwater assessment fees could be on the rise for both residential and commercial customers. This is due, he says, to a $3.8 million shortfall over the last 3 years that the city has been covering out of the general fund.
City government is not immune to inflation. And I sympathize so much with, we're all experiencing it. We're all feeling the pain of inflation. Me personally, our citizens personally, folks on fixed incomes, and city governments. We are not immune to the rising costs of things, rising costs of labor.
Over the next 2 years, the fee would increase from $80 per equivalent stormwater unit to $136. For the vast majority of residents, that would be about a $4 increase per month by 2026. Also, getting an update on those extra noise violation enforcement operations happening in downtown Pensacola. Mayor Reeves says the DIB-funded enforcement netted 45 citations so far. Officers have written 25 exhaust violations, 6 loud music violations, as well as citations for stunt driving and 4 arrests, including one person that had a felony warrant. Reeves says that effort is part of having a fast-growing downtown. A cantonment man being sentenced over the summer for the fatal shooting of a local activist 2 years ago.
The state attorney's office says Charles Moore III was found guilty of second-degree murder in the death of Darrell Palmer. Back on May 23rd of 2022, the two men were engaged in an argument on social media, and that led to a confrontation at a Circle K gas station. According to prosecutors, after about 5 minutes of arguing, Moore pulled a gun from his waistband and shot Palmer 4 times in the torso. Palmer was involved in many activism projects over the years, perhaps most notably a Black Lives Matter mural that was painted on A Street in the aftermath of George Floyd's death. Moore faces up to life in prison when he's sentenced on July 11th. Joe Ford, News Radio, Pensacola.
Thank you very much, Joe. Florida's senators are backing a bipartisan bill which is designed to address loneliness. Senator Marco Rubio announced yesterday that he, Senator Rick Scott, and Minnesota Democrat Tina Smith have introduced the Senior Act. Now, this bill would direct the Secretary of Health and Human Services to prepare a report on the impacts of loneliness on senior citizens and to propose solutions. It would also call for promoting programs that combat loneliness. Rubio says public health officials have sounded the alarm about the epidemic of loneliness, but until now, nobody's addressed it through major legislation. And we've also got an update on that jewel heist at the Cordova Mall. The jeweler who runs the kiosk says a private investigator is to thank for the arrests of two suspects this week.
So the police found the house where they're living in Kissimmee, Orlando, and I couldn't wait anymore. And I asked my private investigator, just get the flight, go over there.
Farzan Davabi says that once his PI arrived at the home, the two suspects got in a car and were driving towards Tampa. The investigator contacted the police. They stopped the vehicle, and that is when 42-year-old Linda Salazar Cannon and 41-year-old Jorge Escobar Gonzalez were arrested. They're now awaiting extradition, and police also say additional arrests are possible. 635 at News Radio, and Jimmy has our traffic on the fives.
If you are coming into Pensacola from Pace or Milton, we can already see traffic building up on Woodbine at the intersection of Highway 90 there, showing a little bit of traffic slowdown on the bridge into Pensacola from Pace this morning. And if you are coming in from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, we can see Avalon Boulevard building up as well, that intersection going east and westbound. And heading eastbound on 98, we are seeing traffic building up right after the Navarre Beach Causeway heading into Windhaven Beach. So expect some delays if you're traveling that way this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate, not one based on anyone else. Visit allstate.com or call for a quote today. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. And taking a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast, that nice weather continuing today, looking for highs in the mid-80s, lows in the 70s, and that's going to last all through the end of the week, into the weekend, and possibly even into early next week. Right now, 70 in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, 67 in Milton. Your next news at 7. I'm breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Leading artificial intelligence companies have pledged to develop AI safely, while world leaders agreed to build a network of publicly backed safety institutes to advance research and testing of the technology. Google, Meta, and OpenAI were among the companies that made voluntary safety commitments at the two-day summit, including pulling the plug on their cutting-edge systems if they can't rein in the most extreme risks. British regulators have fined Citibank $79 million for failings in its trading systems and controls. The regulators said the system issues led to trading incidents such as so-called fat finger trading blunders. The main incident took place in 2022 when an experienced trader incorrectly input an order, which resulted in $1.4 billion inadvertently being executed on European exchanges. Futures are mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 66. That's Your Money Now.
This ad furnished by Nesmataju LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They are one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Waiting for a great finance rate on a great Volkswagen? Well, the wait is over. Now at Feedmore Imports, eligible buyers can receive 0% APR for 60 months on the 2024 Volkswagen Taos. This sporty VW Taos S is waiting for you with 0% APR for 60 months or a discounted price of $24,491. And the 2024 Tiguan S discounted to $29,516 or take 2.9% APR for 60 months. The 24 Atlas Cross Sport SE with 2.9% APR for 60 months or a sale price of $36,206. And the Atlas SE with technology, now discounted $2,500. to $41,793 or take 2.9% for 60 months. Great Volkswagens, great rates, and a great family-owned dealership. Beat more imports. 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate in lieu of discounts and for qualifying credit through BCI. Sale price before tax, title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Include Fort Pickens in your Memorial Day weekend activities. Sunday and Monday, check out living history displays and demonstrations. See Fort Pickens Memorial Weekend on Facebook. Enjoy the sun, sand, and music at the 7th Annual Family Beach Festival, Saturday at the Gulfside Pavilion. A fun day of celebration and inspiration. Please see Family Beach Fest on Facebook. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
When you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
When you need to know.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
All right, I do my best to not sell anger as a component of the show. There's times when anger is appropriate, but you know, too much of the time, my industry sells fear, anger. You know, like it's really, if you listen to an awful lot of news and radio and TV, you know, that's what it is, right? You know, we're selling negative emotions, and it's not particularly helpful. Then every once in a while, something happens, and I'm. So, let me begin by playing the clip. This is Representative Cori Bush, who represents Democrat, representing Missouri's District 1. That's the city of St. Louis. Puts out this on social media the other day.
Michael Brown should have turned 28 years old. The last birthday he celebrated and will ever get to celebrate was his 18th. Just 81 days after his 18th birthday, a Ferguson police officer killed him. In a just world, Mike Brown would be with his loved ones right now, celebrating another year, dreaming of his future as he blows out the candles on his birthday cake. But instead, we are only left with the memories of who he was.
Okay, count to 10. Breathe deep. Before we analyze, before I respond, let's hear a little bit more from what you are required in Congress to refer to as the gentle lady from Missouri.
Michael Brown's life was taken. It was taken from his mom, his dad, his friends, his siblings, his classmates, and from every person who knew and loved him. They were all left to live through the trauma police violence leaves in its wake. They were forced to go to school, to go to work, go get groceries and live their lives after knowing someone they loved was killed. And they were forced to deal with the mental health effects of it on their own.
Which she says is an enormous burden for the society.
Police killings of unarmed black people are responsible for more than 50 million additional days of poor mental health days per year. It's devastating our communities and it must be addressed. That's why, in Mike Brown's honor, alongside Mike's mother, Leslie McSpadden, I am reintroducing the Helping Families Heal Act, also known as the Mike Brown Bill.
Okay. I've counted 10 a number of times. I'm ready to proceed. She represents Ferguson. Ferguson is in her district. Okay? And she is fundraising / politicianing on the anniversary of Michael Brown's birthday. And this is one of the most repugnant things I have ever heard. And that's saying a lot. And here's why. You could have maybe forgiven this if she put it out 6 months after. Maybe even a year after. Okay? But now, so many years after, when the Department of Justice under Barack Obama report completely repudiates the notion that Michael Brown was an innocent, hands-up, don't-shoot victim of police violence. The Obama Administration Department of Justice report on the Ferguson shooting completely exonerates Darren Wilson. I was rereading it yesterday just to be sure I wasn't remembering it wrong, because that's what you do when you're going to make claims about facts where you might be mistaken. I'm reading, because this is, I don't know which is worse, that she's so wrong, or that she doesn't know, or that she does know and she's lying, or that her constituents in St. Louis, who are predominantly black, although not all, her district includes some white areas, are going to hear this and think, yeah, that's right. Multiple credible witnesses corroborate virtually every material aspect of Wilson's account and are consistent with the physical evidence. The only possible basis for prosecuting Wilson under Section 242 would therefore be if the government could prove that his account is not true, i.e. that Brown never punched and grabbed Wilson at the SUV, never struggled with Wilson over the gun, and thereafter clearly surrendered in a way that no reasonable officer could have failed to perceive. Not only do eyewitnesses and physical evidence corroborate Wilson's account, but there is no credible evidence to disprove Wilson's perception that Brown posed a threat to Wilson as Brown advanced toward him. Accordingly, seeking his indictment is not permitted by Department of Justice policy or the governing law. There were witnesses that claimed they saw hands up, don't shoot, that claimed Wilson shot him in the back, that claimed he, and all of these witnesses were completely discounted by the Department of Justice because they gave testimony which was completely inconsistent with the evidence. According to Wilson, when he backed up his SUV and attempted to get out to speak with Brown, Brown blocked him, I'm reading again, from opening the door. Brown then reached through the window and began to punch Wilson in the face, after which he reached for and gained control of Wilson's firearm by putting his hand over Wilson's hand. As Brown was struggling for the gun and pointing it into Wilson's hip, Wilson gained control of the firearm and fired it just over his lap at Brown's hand. The physical evidence corroborates Wilson's account in that the bullet was recovered from the door panel just over Wilson's lap. The base of Brown's hand displayed injuries consistent with it being within inches of the muzzle of the gun, and Wilson had injuries to his jaw consistent with being struck. Witnesses confirmed all of this. Witnesses 101 and 102, or 127, however, both of those witnesses have given accounts that are inconsistent with the forensic evidence and physical evidence. For example, both witnesses insisted that Wilson shot Brown in the back as he fled, and they saw shots hit Brown in the back. These statements are contradicted by all three autopsies. I'll come back to this in a second, and we'll finish up with Cori Bush's ridiculous, outrageous, race-baiting lies in a moment. They could just be errors if she doesn't know the truth, which is even worse. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are heading north and southbound on Blue Angel Parkway, there is a vehicle accident in between Lillian and Muldoon. It's backing up traffic. It's right outside of Bobby J's Saloon there. So keep that in mind if you were traveling up Blue Angel Parkway from Perdido this morning. And heading eastbound on 98, we can see traffic building up slowly but surely heading into Windhaven Beach right after the Navarre Beach Causeway. Slowdowns are prevalent going all the way into Hurlburt Field this morning. If you're coming in from Pace and Milton, you are seeing a lot of backup on Woodbine with the intersection with Highway 90 there, and on US 90 showing some slowdowns on the bridge coming into Pensacola, but clear as you cross the bridge into town this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So back to the Department of Justice report, completely exonerating Officer Darren Wilson, completely showing that Michael Brown was, in fact, the aggressor. He punched him inside the SUV. He grabbed for his gun. Once Wilson got his gun, he ran away. Then when confronted outside, he turned and ran at Wilson, and that's when he got shot. Never offered to surrender, never said, hands up, don't shoot, or any of this nonsense. But anyway, back to the report, because again, the Obama Administration Department of Justice produced this report about the Ferguson incident. Reading from the report, Wilson's version of events is corroborated by the physical evidence that indicates that Brown moved toward Wilson after he ran from the SUV, by the fact that Brown went to the ground with his left hand at, although not inside his waistband, and by credible eyewitness accounts. Wilson's version is further supported by disinterested eyewitnesses 102, 104, 105, 108, 109, among others. These witnesses all agree that Brown ran or charged toward Wilson and that Wilson shot at Brown only as Brown moved toward him. Although some of the witnesses stated that Brown briefly had his hand up at or about waist level, none of these witnesses perceived Brown to be attempting to surrender at any point when Wilson fired upon him. To the contrary, several of these witnesses stated that they would have felt threatened by Brown and would have responded in the same way Wilson did. For example, Witness 104 stated that as Wilson ran after Brown yelling, "Stop, stop, stop," Brown finally turned around and raised his hand for a second. However, Brown then immediately balled his hands into fists and charged at Wilson in a tackle run. Witness 104 stated that Wilson fired only when Brown moved toward him and that she, quote, would have fired sooner. Likewise, Witness 105 stated that Brown turned around and put his hands up, quote, for a brief moment, then refused a command from Wilson to, quote, get down and instead put his hands, quote, in running position and started running toward Wilson. Witness 105 stated that Wilson shot at Brown only when Brown was moving toward him. These witnesses' accounts are consistent with prior statements that they have given, consistent with the forensic evidence and physical evidence, and consistent with each other's accounts. Accordingly, we conclude that these accounts are credible. And then in what I can only describe as the most damning portion of this report, this is the worst part. Toward the end of the report, you get about three quarters of the way down. The media has widely reported that there is witness testimony that Brown said, "Don't shoot," as he held his hands above his head. In fact, our investigation did not reveal any eyewitness who stated that Brown said, "Don't shoot." Now, I've reported this before. Other people have reported this before. It's easy to forget. It's easy to not track. Have there been examples of unjustified police shootings? Absolutely. The Walter Scott shooting in his back as he's running away, caught on camera from a traffic stop? Outrageous. Outrageous. Michael Brown? Completely justified shooting. And the fact that to this day, a black politician in St. Louis who is in Congress, should probably be censured over this, by the way, is in Congress and fundraising and promoting herself over this is disgusting. Oh, by the way, I come back to her audio for a second. This gets worse, okay? This gets worse. But again, understand where people are. I mean, she apparently feels like she can put this out and people will, you know, hear it and listen and respond. And she's gotten elected ever since she replaced William Lacey Clay back in, 8 years ago, I think. Okay, here back to the, just, if you weren't already frustrated, okay? Truth matters, evidence matters. Read the documents, learn the stories, okay?
It's been nearly 10 years since the Ferguson uprising.
The what now?
It's been nearly 10 years since the Ferguson uprising. 10 years since our movement for justice birthed an affirmative vision of community safety that focuses on saving lives instead of destroying them.
The Ferguson uprising? You mean the Ferguson riots that burned all of the businesses down that road that I've seen with my own eyes? When, I mean, do you remember how the Ferguson riots started? It's not an uprising, miss. The stepfather of Michael Brown, and by the way, to give credit, Michael Brown's mom and dad were calling for peace. Okay, they were calling for calm, okay? Meanwhile, his stepfather was outside the courthouse when the grand jury was going to give its answer. And when they decided to not indict Officer Wilson over the facts of the case, he was standing on the car, jumping up and down, yelling, the mostly peaceful uprising? It is so frustrating to have lies about something that is not that long ago continue to be perpetuated to this day.
Almost a decade has passed since we lost Mike Brown, but we're still on the front lines of the movement to save black lives. And that's where we will remain until no more lives are taken by police violence and our children can celebrate each and every one of their birthdays. Happy birthday, Mike Brown. Rest in power.
Mike Brown would be alive today if he hadn't punched a cop inside his SUV after committing crimes, hadn't grabbed for the officer's gun and wrestled with him over it, and hadn't charged at the officer later when he had properly told him to stop and had his weapon drawn on him. I will join you when there is police injustice and unjustified shootings. I will join you. But you have got to distinguish between cases where the cops did everything right, did things mostly right, and did things wrong. And if you cannot make that distinction, then I cannot join you in your movement. But if you will make that distinction, I will be with you every time the cops are wrong. Because people in power, including the people in blue, must be held accountable because they have such great responsibility and power. 655 on News, and you also, as a congresswoman, have great responsibility and power, and you need to be held accountable, too. 655 on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are heading north or southbound on Blue Angel Parkway this morning, you can expect to see a lot of traffic built up in between Lillian Highway and Muldoon. That is due to a vehicle crash that is blocking the northbound lane right outside of Bobby J's Saloon. And if you're heading eastbound on Highway 98, you can expect to see a lot of traffic after the Navarre Beach Causeway heading into Windhaven Beach. Looks like just slowing down all along the roads into Hurlburt Field. That is for about 6 or 7 miles or so. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip lines, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in, with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Sorry I had a fight in the middle of your Black Panther party.
Hello, hello. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I hope that you're missing me. It makes me feel young.
Oh man, I needed that song. It makes me smile a little bit more after that horrible, terrible frustration of last segment. 657 on News Radio Pensacola. You can always go back and listen to the podcast at News Radio Pensacola, NewsRadio923.com. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, multiple deaths have been reported in Iowa after a tornado hit the small town of Greenfield yesterday. The Iowa State Patrol says numerous fatalities have been confirmed. The exact number will be released later today. A lawsuit against the Oklahoma Department of Corrections alleging human rights violations is now in federal court. Inmates at the Great Plains Correctional Facility in Hinton, Oklahoma, allege they were locked in 3-foot by 3-foot shower stalls. And in New Orleans, they're preparing for next February's Super Bowl. The Department of Homeland Security bringing in extra agents and coordinating their efforts with the police department there. Super Bowl 59 will be the first one in New Orleans since 2013, and it ties an all-time record as the 11th Super Bowl in the city.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Time for future news when Jimmy and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Will Cora Bush apologize for all of her lies?
Oh, no.
Will she get censured?
I'm not quite sure what
I'm
going to
say
means.
No. I'm going to say no, unfortunately. The Navarre Bridge, when it gets built, will it have a toll?
Absolutely.
Yeah, unfortunately. I think that's likely to happen. And with a release of oil or gasoline from the strategic reserve, will gas prices dip and will Biden get the credit for it?
Oh, yes.
Sadly.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 923. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.